Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is the Coast to Coast Radio Show. I'm your host, Ron Fitch. And today is SEC Day. As far as college football, we're going to talk about the NFL matchups a little bit and also a little Major League Baseball. And I also have a little commentary, if I have time, to talk about different social situations. Now, I had a chance to interview Matt Lowe, who covers the SEC for Lindy Sports, and he did such a great job. There's a lot of big matchups today. At noon, there's Georgia versus Ole Miss. Ole Miss is 1-2, and two of those losses, they had 20-plus point leads. They blew against Alabama and Florida State. They're the best 1-2 team in the country. They're really good. Chad Kelly going against a young buck, Nick Eason, who had a game-winning drive against Missouri, which could have added confidence to Georgia, and Kirby Smart coming in for the first year. And I think that this is a big game. If Georgia can win and go 3-0, they're going to be off and running, and Ole Miss will be in trouble. A lot of pressure on Ole Miss. Tennessee and Florida, a lot of pressure on Butch Jones. Florida's beaten Tennessee 11 straight years. And this is the year that everybody's saying that Florida Josh Dobbs is going to get it done against Florida State's mean defense. Their defense is really good. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in Tennessee. And then and Florida, they've done a lot of trash talking about. It's a Florida University's a smack talking team. They just do a lot of talking. Sometimes they don't half back it up. Sometimes they do. It's just a talky kind of university. Then LSU plays Auburn, and I call this the pink slip bowl, because whichever coach loses this game, Gus Malzahn or Les Miles, the fan base is going to be called for their heads. It's going to be a long year, especially Gus Malzahn, and we're definitely going to get into that with Matt Lowe. Texas A&M plays Arkansas. I think that's the best matchup of the day. Arkansas lost the last 2 years close. Now, without further ado, I have Matt Lowe on my show.
All right, we're here at Coast to Coast Radio. I have never been more excited to talk to this next guest here. We have Matt Lowe, one of the best writers in the country. And you, Matt, are in the eye of the storm in Auburn University. Matt, welcome to the show. I just want to ask you just one question. How is the fan base down there, because Auburn's taking on LSU, pressure-packed game for both coaches. How is the fan base, the alumni, and the boosters? What's the overall attitude right now?
Well, Ron, first of all, I appreciate you having me. I think right now it's pretty uneasy, to say the least. The last 12 games, Auburn's 2-10. The only two games they've won are against Kentucky and Texas A&M on the road, actually. So they haven't won a home game since October of 2014, and that was against South Carolina. So, a lot of uneasiness, and, anytime you don't really have stability at the quarterback position, it can be a problem for a football team, and that goes for any level, whether you're high school or college, NFL, and that's basically Auburn's problem right now. I mean, they're getting pretty good play on the defensive side of the ball. They got a great kicker. The running game's actually, they're averaging about 267 yards per game on the ground. But fortunately, it comes down to quarterback play, and they're not really getting stability there. But, I mean, I was at the game last week, and about 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, the stadium's emptying out. And any time that starts happening, I mean, a coach's job becomes in jeopardy, so – there's a lot of uneasiness, and nobody really knows what to expect. And I think it's a big game this weekend, hosting LSU, and if they can win and maybe get this thing turned around, I think Gus will be okay. But if they don't, they keep losing, I think he's going to be in trouble.
Yeah, and it's not just Gus; it's LSU. It just seems like this is the most pressure-packed conference in America, where the fan base is. It's life and death, and I took time out this week to listen to SEC radio and listen to the radio about and how the fans call in, especially the Alabama fans. And this one Alabama fan called in and said, I almost had a heart attack when Alabama was down 24-3 and they did come back and beat Ole Miss. And he had to be rushed to the hospital. He thought he was going to have a heart attack because it meant that much to him. It just seems like it means so much more down in the Southeast Conference, which puts a lot of pressure on the coaches and players.
Yeah, it does. I mean, and look, I mean, the SEC West is the toughest division in football.
Goodness.
I mean, if you have a weakness, especially a quarterback, or if you have a weakness on defense, or if you have a weakness on your offensive line, you're going to get exposed. And it, I mean, it's a meat grinder, man, and it's week in, week out, and especially too, like Auburn. You know, last year they played Louisville out of conference, and they played Kansas State the year before that. This year they played Clemson out of conference, who's a top five team. I mean, and if you lose that game, you know, then you got to go through your SEC gauntlet. It's just tough, man. And the SEC football fans, it's like Michigan football fans, Ohio State football fans, Texas football fans, USC. I mean, they know football. You know, they know football. But ultimately, you know, it's just – the margin for error is so slim, and you got to be ready to play each week. And Alabama, hey, hats off to them last week. They were down 21.
What a comeback.
With a freshman quarterback.
Yes.
A true freshman quarterback, and the way that came back on the road, I mean, speaks volumes about the program, you know. And everybody made a big deal about Coach Saban chewing Nick Saban out, you know, the week before. But Coach Saban teaches complacency. When you're complacent, you get beat.
You can be consistently, and that's a problem. Now let's talk about the game itself, LSU versus Auburn. You told me about Auburn's defense before everybody talked about it, and they did a number on Deshaun Watson. Can they stop LSU, Etling, who's now the quarterback, and then Fournette from running? Can this defense keep it up? And I'll give them a chance to win. Can they keep it up and keep in the game?
Auburn's offense is going to have to help them out. I mean, they can't stay on the field the whole time. I mean, and that's been a bugaboo for them, you know, against Clemson and Texas A&M. You know, Leonard Fournette's an animal. Everybody knows that. He's going to be a, you know, top 10, 15 pick in the NFL. You know, I think actually, you know, they're better off at quarterback now with that lead, you know, and who would have thought two former Purdue quarterbacks would be in the spotlight, you know, in the SEC with that lean here at LSU and Appleby now for Florida. But I mean, I don't know. When it comes down to it, I mean, Auburn's going to have to score. They're going to have to help out their offense, I mean, their defense. And I think it's going to be, old-fashioned slobber knocker, man. But I'm not sure if Auburn can score enough to beat LSU.
So you're picking LSU to win the game.
I am, man, just because of what I've seen from Auburn. I've been down there the first 2 weeks, and they've really – You can beat Arkansas State, you know, but heck, everybody else has too. But, you know, Auburn was close to beating Clemson. We don't know how good A&M is. I think they're a pretty good football team. But, I mean, Auburn moved the ball on them pretty good. It's just like when they get in the red zone, they just bog down. And that's been the case the past 2 years with Auburn's offense.
Yeah, now, Georgia plays at Ole Miss. We were talking about the Ole Miss-Bama game. Nick Easton's going to be under pressure because it's at Ole Miss and Oxford. They're going to be desperate. And he's going to see pressure because their defense is good. Their defense is fast. But can Georgia kind of wear out Ole Miss? Because Alabama ran it in the second half, and they gashed them. And can Nick Chubb do that to Ole Miss?
I've kind of been surprised by how well they played. You know, Nick Chubb is one of the elite backs in the league, and I think Ole Miss gave up over 300 yards on the ground last week. And anytime you're giving up that many yards on the ground, I mean, you're vulnerable. You know, if a team can run the ball against you, they can control the clock and get first downs and wear that defense out. You know, so yeah, I think and everybody thinks it's kind of a shoo-in that Ole Miss is going to win, but. You know, I think Georgia's going to play them tough. I mean, back-to-back road games for them, which is a hard thing to do. But a lot of confidence for Jacob Eason. You know, he threw the game-winning touchdown pass last week against Missouri. He threw three touchdown passes in total. But, you know, I think, sure, they can go in there and beat him. And, you know, one thing Ole Miss, they don't have a running game.
No.
You know, and, you know, if they had some balance there, you know, with a good running game, you know, they might be 3-0, but they don't have a running game, and that's hindering them, and they've lost two of their best players on defense. So, I think Georgia, yeah, I think it's going to be a heck of a ball game, high-scoring game, but I think Ole Miss will find a way to pull it out in the end.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. Now, the big featured game is Florida and Tennessee, and Tennessee's lost 11 straight to Florida. And everybody's saying this year because it's in Knoxville, Tennessee. Got Joshua Dobbs do well against that great Florida defense? And I want you to explain to everybody in my audience how good Florida's defense is, because everybody talks about Auburn, everybody talks about Alabama. But Florida's got a couple of NFL players on their team.
Well, Caleb Bradley, the defensive tackle, is an excellent player. And, you know, but their defense, it all starts with Jerron Davis there in the middle. I mean, outstanding middle linebacker. We talked before the season, me and my college football editor, about, you know, who's some of the best middle linebackers in the country. I thought he was the best.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way he plays, he's a hitter. Then they got Jalen Tabor, who's a shutdown corner. I mean, they just got some good players on that side of the ball. But, you know, I think Tennessee, you know, they haven't been that impressive, but I think they've got this game circled. For the last two seasons, they've been really on the verge of beating Florida. You know, and I'm telling you, Ron, I think they get it done. I think
Me
Josh
too.
I think Dobbs running the ball when protection breaks down is going to be big in this game for Tennessee. I think he's going to have to hurt Florida with his legs, because I'm going to tell you, a running quarterback stresses out any defense. I don't care how good they are. And I think that's going to be a key to the game. And I'm going to tell you, Ron, if Tennessee gets out of there with a win, there might be some buildings come down in Knoxville. There might be some boats sinking. There's your extra people in the tail. This is going to be
but they're going to have to hold their horses for a second, celebrate. But then you got Georgia and then Alabama coming up. So I mean, you could celebrate, but you want to keep it going. This could be special if you get past Florida. Now you got an opportunity to. You're in the mix now.
Oh yeah. I call this your typical springboard game. For either team, if Florida wins it, wow, what a boost for their confidence going in with a backup quarterback and going up there and winning again, on the strength of their defense. But with Tennessee, you know, if they can get that win and get over that hump, you know, I think it'll do wonders for their confidence, and I think it'll be really big for them moving forward as the season progresses.
Yeah, so we definitely both like Tennessee. Now, the final game is a game I really like the most, is Texas A&M and Arkansas. And you got to see Texas A&M, their strengths and their weaknesses. How does Brent Bielema and Allen and their running game, how do they combat the defensive ends of Texas A&M? They have first round, maybe first pick in the draft type defensive ends. And how do they handle that? Do they just run right at them because they're a great running team? And they had success against Texas A&M, but they've come up short both times in close games in Dallas.
Yeah, I think you have to. And, you know, Dan Skipper, Arkansas's left tackle, was 6'10", about 320 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, will he be able to block the powerful, the quickness of Myles Garrett and, like you said, Deshaun Hall? He played an excellent game. He played an excellent game against Auburn last week, and they really attacked the mesh point and disrupted things in the backfield. But, I mean, Texas A&M's defense under John Chavis, I mean, it really looks like they really took a big step forward.
Mm.
You know, it'll be interesting to see what they do for a second consecutive week against a team that can really run the ball. But a key matchup here to me in this ball game is, can Arkansas's defensive backs, who aren't that big, match up against A&M's bigger, taller, physical receivers? I think that's going to be a key matchup to watch.
Yes, and you know, A&M always has those big receivers, going back to Evans when Manziel threw to him, and that is an excellent point. Who do you have in this game? Does Arkansas break through and finally get him, or they lose again for a third straight year?
Well, I like A&M. think they get it done. I like the way Trevor Knight played last
I love the way he's playing.
Against Auburn, and Noel Mazzone, he seems like he's doing a good job of that offense. And Travion Williams, the young freshman running back, I was really impressed with him last week. So I think it'll be a high-scoring game in the Jerry Dome there in Dallas, but I like A&M to get it done.
And I'm going to tell you something. If you've ever looked at all the losses that Alabama's had, the formula is the kind of style and the formula that Texas A&M plays with Trevor Knight and the big receivers. They could run it a little bit. They got the defensive end to slow them down. Now, going into Tuscaloosa and beating Alabama is different than playing close with them because Alabama is a 15-round fighter, as you can see, because they'll come up with special team play like they did against Clemson in the championship, like they did last week against Ole Miss, and they'll come up with defensive play. They'll do whatever they have to do to win. Can Texas A&M walk into Tuscaloosa and give Alabama trouble, if not outright beat them?
That's a tough call. I mean, possibly. You know, I mean, I think so. I think they got the ingredients to do that. I mean, you know, they're having some struggling offensive line issues. I mean, they got to get corrected. And, you know, last week, Ole Miss, I mean, with Kelly, he was just throwing up balls to the bigger receivers, and those Ole Miss receivers were making plays. Now, can you make 50-50 plays like that every week? I think that's a stretch to say that because it's a 50-50 chance your receiver goes up and makes the play.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if A&M continues to improve on defense and they continue to use the running game and work the ball on the big receivers and Trevor Knight continues not to make mistakes, sure, I think they can hang. But again, going into Tuscaloosa and beating Alabama is a different animal. I mean, they play really well there. That's a tough place to go win.
Yeah, well, listen, thanks a lot. You were terrific as usual. I'm looking forward to watching that LSU-Auburn game. I might even text you during the game, man.
Ron, you need to get down here and watch one of these.
I am going to. You know what? If Tennessee wins and they're undefeated, I would like to go out there to Knoxville to do a show with you if they played Alabama.
Hey, man. Yeah, I mean, we can make it happen.
That's what's up. I love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ron, for having me, buddy. See you soon.
Okay.
That was Matt Lowe of Lindy Sports. He did a terrific job. Now, during this NFL segment, this is all about matchups. The first matchup is Josh Norman versus Odell Beckham. And I listened to the quotes during the offseason, and both players told lies. They lied on each other. Josh Norman said, "The reason Odell Beckham is famous is because of a catch." That's baloney. It was a great catch. Odell Beckham has 12 catches so far this year. Been a terrific receiver. He's one of the best receivers in the NFL right now in his third year. So let's cut the nonsense. I know you want to talk, but that was a lie, Josh Norman told. Now, Odell Beckham told a lie. He said that Josh Norman is famous because of him. That is baloney. I saw Josh Norman shut down a lot of players. He's not the best corner in the league. Don't let him tell you that. But he's one of the best. Very good technique, very aggressive, very good at forcing turnovers. I saw him shut down Dez Bryant completely. I saw him shut down a lot of good players. But now Odell Beckham really dropped four passes because he was incensed last year when they matched up. I don't think this guy could stay with Odell Beckham. If he's on the left side and Odell Beckham comes on that side and he stays on that side, Odell Beckham would wear him out if the Redskins don't get a pass rush. And I think Shepard and Cruz will give Norman trouble. Now, you don't just worry about Odell Beckham. It's a three-prong attack. If the Giants had a tight end, it would be scary. Their running game comes and goes with Jennings. I think the Giants are going to mop the floor with the Washington Redskins. The Washington Redskins are a mess. The first week of the season, Josh Norman's ready to fight the safety on the sideline. Cousins threw a ridiculous pick when the Redskins could have won. They're just bad. It just seems like they're this dark cloud that follows the Washington Redskins ever since Gibbs left the first time, and Daniel Snyder can't get it together as an owner and put it together. It's just one mess up after the next, and it's a shame because it's such a good and storied organization. Now, I'm going to get to the next matchup, which is a really good matchup. It's Carolina versus Minnesota, and Minnesota's defense is for real. Mike Zimmer, with Linval Joseph and all those big boys up front, and that secondary is really good. The linebackers are good with Barr and Hendricks, who are fast, who make plays. And Zimmer dialed up so many different formations that give quarterbacks trouble. He gave Aaron Rodgers trouble. He's going to give Cam Newton trouble. I don't know if it's enough to beat Carolina, because Carolina has other weapons and their defense is tough, and no Adrian Peterson, they could really tee off on Bradford, and Bradford's not mobile. Bradford is going to be solid because last week he was terrific. I think Carolina finds a way to win, but they're going to struggle. This is a low-scoring game. It's not going to be like last week where they ran roughshod late on the Niners. Carolina barely gets it done. I think Minnesota is going to give everybody trouble every week, even without Adrian Peterson. And when he comes back, and he will come back, because I know Adrian Peterson, they'll be a contender. They just have to get in, win the division like I believe they are, and play them home games. And you never know what's going to happen. I love the matchup of Xavier Rhodes versus Benjamin. Benjamin, the big tall receiver for Carolina, versus Xavier Rhodes, a name nobody knows yet but will know as the season goes on, is one of the best shutdown corners. And they have some good ones. My next game is Cincinnati versus Denver, and Denver has to go cross-country to Cincinnati. And this is a great matchup because you got Harris or Tlaib versus A.J. Green, and they man up. So A.J. Green's going to see man coverage. Can Andy Dalton get it to him? And I believe they're going to unleash – Wade Phillips is going to unleash Miller, and I don't know how healthy Ware is, but the rest of those Wolf and all the rest of those guys are going to come after them. They may blitz a little more if Ware's not healthy, but they're going to come after Dalton. And can Cincinnati come up with a plan B? Can Tyler Eifert and some of the – and LaFelds, can they – offset what they're going to do coverage-wise. I think they're going to pay attention to Green. But now you're going to have a plan B. And does Cincinnati have a plan B? Can they run the ball against that good defense? I think the key for Cincinnati is do what they did last week against Pittsburgh, is throw the ball to Giovanni Bernard out of the backfield and really use that as a weapon, maybe throw some screen passes when Denver comes with that hard rush. And that could win the day for Cincinnati. I believe Cincinnati's going to win because they're going to put some pressure on Simeon, the defense. I'm rooting for Denver just as a Steelers fan. I need Cincinnati to lose, but I just have a hunch that the Bengals are going to get it done and go 2-1 and make life miserable for the rest of the division. But Denver, don't sleep on Denver. I mean, Simeon's a poised player. I don't think they can run the ball. I don't think C.J. Anderson is going to run the ball in Cincinnati. I think that's going to be the key, and I have Cincinnati winning that game. Now, the next matchup is Big Ben versus Carson Wentz, Philadelphia versus Pittsburgh. I love this matchup from a quarterback standpoint. I love Carson Wentz. You're going against Big Ben, the established quarterback. Big Ben has 6 TDs. He already has 559 yards passing in week 2. So he's on a pace for at least 4,000 or 5,000 yards passing. The quarterback rating is good. He's got Wheaton back. That's going to help Pittsburgh. But I want to talk about Carson Wentz. He's taken the Philadelphia fan base and the Eagles by storm. It's excited the fan base. They were down after the coach left. It just seemed like they were a mess. But now the Eagles are in right standing. The defense is playing good. They're well coached. Peterson could coach. You got Frank Wright as a quarterback coach. You got nothing but quarterbacks on that staff. So Wentz can just lean on advice from those quarterbacks, and is serving it well because he has 3 TDs, 0 interceptions, overall 94.1 QB rating. He could see the field really good. He could throw the deep ball. He's going to be a pain in the neck for the Steelers. The Steelers do have a good history going after rookie quarterbacks and when LeBeau was there, but they haven't won in Philadelphia since 1968. So if you're a Steelers fan or you're a Steelers, you want to exercise those demons. For the Steelers to win, Ben has to be upright. He has to be standing upright because the Eagle pass rush is good. I mean, the Steelers' offensive lines have been terrific. They've done a good job of protecting Ben, but this is going to be they're going to be hard-pressed to try to keep Cole and all those guys from coming in and rushing, and they might blitz a little. They play very fast at home. This is a difficult matchup, but Ben has time with Wheaton and Brown and D'Angelo Williams running. You have to honor that. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. And then Eli Rogers is a dangerous his weapon. And Sammy Coates is developing. So if they have time, they'll win the game. The Eagles will win the game if they get pressure on Ben and Carson Wentz can beat Pittsburgh on third down. Pittsburgh's defense has been pretty very good this year. At times, they've given up third down pass plays. That's something the Eagles and their staff will look into to try to exploit that. That's a great game. That's the 4:30 game. I believe the Chiefs play the Jets. I believe that the Chiefs are going to win. I think the Jets can beat the Chiefs if their defense is a little more stout than they were against Buffalo. I think that's an aberration. I think the Jets defense is going to be fine. But the game is in Kansas City. If the game was in New Jersey and they played the Jets, I guarantee the Jets will win. I just think this is a home pick for me. The Jets, I believe, have a better talent than the Chiefs. I just have a hunch that the Chiefs are going to win this game. And then after that, I think the Jets are going to make a run. They're a playoff team. They're a potential Super Bowl contender. I do need to see a little more sample size before I anoint them as a contender, but I just feel like in my heart, just watching them, watching how solid their offense is, that they're definitely a playoff contender. And you know what New England is. New England could have got me out there, the quarterback against the Texans at 8-1, because Belichick is plug and play. That's who he is. And they beat the Texans easily. And then they just have to beat Buffalo, and they complete the 4-0 record, and Brady will be back, so they're in good shape. So teams like the Steelers and the Bengals and the Broncos got to keep winning, because now they know that they if they want home field advantage, they got to keep winning and winning and winning, and then they'll see the Patriots in the end. They have to beat the Patriots head-to-head to get the home field advantage. Now, finally, before I sign off, I wanted to talk about the different instances you have. A lot of players not saluting the flag, and there's a lot of situations when you have a shooting in Charlotte. It's unfortunate. There was a terrorist attack right around the corner from my house in Linden, New Jersey. So I am appreciative of the cops. The thing I do wish is that you have cops that I want to see more apprehension. Even if there's a shooting, shoot not to kill. So you have less of these marches and you have less of issues in Charlotte. But that doesn't give anybody a reason to tear up your community. There is different injustices, but there has to be a different way. I'm hoping it's a different way, and hopefully the players can unite and go into the communities. I understand the fist and the injustice, and you're not saluting the flag, but there's more. There's more to be done. Go in those communities, talk to those people, tell them violence is in the key. I'm here for you. The Panthers should be in that community. And then Seattle and Kaepernick and all those other guys, there has to be more community work and messages, positive messages, so they're more positive. If you want to protest, make it positive. Don't tear, be violent, and shoot and do all that other nonsense.